we're assuming that you're interested in social policy at the LSE. So my name is David Lewis, and I work in the Department of Social Policy, and my specialization is around social policy and international development, and my own work has been concerned with social policy in South Asia and on the role of development organizations like NGOs and their contribution to social policy. So what we're going to do this afternoon is talk a little bit about what is social policy, because it's an unfamiliar subject, I suspect, for many people. And then we're going to talk about why study social policy here at the LSE. We're going to talk about the specific programs that we offer, and then we're going to tell you a little bit about how we teach those programs. Oh, that's very dramatic. And we're going to talk about the entry requirements, and then we'll have some time for Q&A as well. So we really hope that you have some questions, and we're here to answer your questions. So what is social policy? Well, I think most people would probably be aware that social policy is concerned with human welfare and well-being, and what the study of social policy is about is understanding how different societies develop the arrangements to meet people's needs, and or alternatively how they fail to meet those needs. And I think most people would probably assume that the state is the main actor involved in social policy provision, and that would be true, but we would also want to look at the role of the family as being very important, and also the voluntary sector, and also increasingly in many societies, the market. We talk in our department now not just about social policy, but about public policy as well, social and public policy. And we do that because, you know, social policy is increasingly understood as not just referring to, if you like, the social sectors, but also to the social impacts of wider public policy. So all public policies have an impact on people. So what kind of things do we talk about on the programs in social policy? Well, here are some examples of undergraduate dissertations from last year. And you'll see that there's a wide range of both familiar and, I think, unfamiliar themes. So health is obviously a very important part of social policy. And here's a dissertation on what are the consequences of public-private partnerships in the delivery of health and social care in Britain. So you can see there that public-private partnerships are not just about the state, they're also about the market. If we turn to education, here's a dissertation evaluating the emergence of private schools in Tanzania. So here again, we've got the growing influence of the market in the world of social policy. Then we've got a third one on housing. That's another familiar area of social policy concern. Are rent controls effective in improving housing quality and affordability? The case of Berlin. So rent controls are about regulation and the state. And then we've got the study as well of welfare states as a whole. So here's a dissertation about social policies in Brazil, whether they measure up to the principles of its constitution. So you can see there that social policy is also linked to ideas about citizenship and rights. So social policy is a wide-ranging subject, as you can see. If we continue on these kinds of themes, we also look at issues around, if you like, you know, the good life, not just ideas about social problems or social issues. So, you know, health behaviour, sugar tax in the UK, work and wages, how far has the aim of the Equality Act of 2010 been achieved with regard to gender? Drug policy, another aspect of social policy. History of the policing of recreational drug use in music festivals in Britain. And then foreign aid, another very important area of social policy. Do aid policies improve the prospects of children's lives in sub-Saharan Africa? So those are all the kinds of themes and issues that we would get into when studying international, social, and public policy. And sorry, I didn't click all the clicks. And when it comes to social policy, it's worth talking a little bit about what it means to, you know, to study social policy, because it's probably not something that anybody studied at school, is it? Anyone study social policy at school subject? No, probably not. You might have studied other social sciences like economics, politics, or sociology. So social policy is a multidisciplinary field. What that means is we use different disciplines like economics, like politics, and like sociology, and many of these other ones, to provide, you know, different ways of understanding and responding to social issues. So if you study social policy, you study some economics, you study some politics, you study some sociology. And you start to realize that each of those disciplines offers you a slightly different, but hopefully complementary perspective on the same issues. Now, why would you study social policy at the LSE? Well, without wanting to be too boastful about it, we invented the subject of social policy here at the LSE, and we have, we're the oldest social policy department in the country, and we have an important history. So UK social reformers, Sydney and Beatrice Webb, who had a huge influence on social policy discussions in the UK, were some of the LSE founders. And so social policy has always been at the heart of the LSE. William Beveridge, many of you might have heard of the Beveridge Report in 1942, which was the blueprint for Britain's welfare state. And you know, Beveridge was one of the directors of the LSE in the period before the Second World War. And then finally, I said I wasn't going to be boastful, but I am. We're actually ranked as the world's leading social policy department. So in the recent 2019 QS World University rankings, we were ranked, you know, first in the world. And it's worth mentioning that we are the only LSE department that is ranked, you know, top in the world. So we're very proud of that.
I think.
So here's an example of a few of the books that some of the social policy colleagues have published recently on the UK social policy issues. So John Hill's Good Times, Bad Times is a really interesting account of how there's a mismatch between the perception of people in the UK about how much money the government spends on welfare and the reality of what the government actually spends, where and why, and how that plays out. That's a really interesting and I think a very important book. John Hills is also part of the team who produced a book called Social Policy in a Cold Climate, which is about how UK social policy has been affected by the global financial crisis and the recession and austerity. That's another important book. Broadening things a little bit, there is this book on cities, International Handbook of City Recovery, Cities for a Small Continent, by Anne Power, who is a leading authority on housing issues. There's also a book here by Kitty Stewart on providing quality early education and care for disadvantaged children, judge policing. So that gives you an idea of just a little example of the sort of work that's produced in the department. So what I'd like to do now, are we onto that slide? Yes. why study at the LSE? One of the great things about studying at the LSE is the exposure you get to a huge number of visitors and public lectures and talks. So being right in the heart of London, as I'm sure was mentioned in some of the general talks that you may have been to today, we get a lot of external speakers. And in every given week, there are probably dozens of lectures that you can go to in addition to your course to just learn about related things. I just took a snapshot off the web from recently, and here's examples of you know, the changing nature of labour, pointless labour, digitisation and the revolt of the caring classes, hard truths, the art of peacemaking in the 21st century, the end of nuclear weapons. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of talks that you can go to here. So what I'd like to do now is to move on and talk a little bit about the three undergraduate programmes that we have relating to social policy. So, first of all, we have the BSc ISPP, International Social and Public Policy, which is, if you like, the general degree which kind of gives you everything. Multidisciplinary, and I'll talk a little bit about what you do in that programme in a minute. And then we have two joint degrees. You can study ISPP with politics, if that's your particular interest, or you can study ISPP with economics, if that's your particular focus. And you might say, well, why not study these subjects on their own? Why not simply do a politics degree or an economics degree? Well, what you get, if you do that, you get a lot of theory. You don't necessarily get the engagement with real-world issues that you would get in a social policy degree. So what social policy is really concerned with is the analysis of real-world problems with various social science methodologies and lenses. So moving on to our core degree, ISPP, we've redesigned our programmes for next year, and one of the ways in which we have redesigned them is to make them more international in focus. So if you look at ISPP, you start off in the first year with two compulsory courses that lay the foundations of social policy and recognize that everybody who studies social policy is coming from a different place in terms of what they've already studied. Nobody's probably studied it before, and people are coming from different countries and different backgrounds. So we want to get everybody on the same page. So in the first year, you study understanding ISPP, which is a general introductory course, and then you study the foundations of social policy research, which is a course that's designed to give you the tools to analyse the research and writing around social policy, whether it's qualitative research or quantitative research, in order to help you start developing the tools to make sense of what people have to say about social policy and the different debates that take place. Then you can choose two courses from from the department, whether they're about social economics or sociology or politics, and that's the first year. In the second year, you move into a more comparative frame where we have a specific course in comparative international social and public policy, and also you go more deeply into research methods around social policy. How do you do social policy research? And then you can choose another social policy option from the department, and you can also choose an option from another department at the OSC. So if you're particularly interested in gender, or you're particularly interested in sociology or media or any of the other sorts of subjects that are taught, like geography, you can make a case and say, I'd really like to study that, it fits in with my interests. And then in the third year, you end up with two more social policy options that allow you to become more specialised and chosen from quite a wide range of choices, plus you do a dissertation, which is your chance to do a detailed, in-depth research project on a subject of your choice. So that's the ISPP course, and then if we move on to the ISPP with politics, here you're doing a joint degree, so although you start off the same way with the introductory social policy course as I mentioned, you then have to do introduction to political theory and introduction to political science. And then in the second year, you move into a similar track with social policy, but then you also choose an option from the politics department, or the government department as it used to be called. And then in the third year, you still do a dissertation, but again, you've got more politics options that are at your disposal. So you end up with a, you know, with a 50% social policy, a 50% politics degree. And the same is then true if we move on to the economics course, where you start off with the foundations and the ISPP course, and then you do, depending on the type of economics you're interested in, some people are drawn towards very technical econometrics, other people to more general, you know, economics, you know, macro or microeconomics. You do those, and then you do a quantitative methods course as well. So the LSE economics department is quite quantitative in its, you know, its focus. And then in a similar way, you move on in the second year, you continue the social policy, but you then get into microeconomic principles, macroeconomic principles, or introduction to econometrics, and then your third year dissertation and public economics. So that's how our three courses work. Some examples of the sort of option courses that you have in the department, they're very wide-ranging, and these are just a few of them. But you could, for example, choose to study education policy. You could choose to move into the study of poverty and social exclusion. You could be interested in health and social care. Or you could choose a criminology course as well. And then in the third year, you have a whole range of other options. There's a course on NGOs, which I'd be teaching. There's also a course here on sexuality, everyday lives, and social policy in developing countries. So that's an example of the diversity and breadth you know, that we offer in the department. So social policy is a wide-ranging subject. So you're probably wondering, how do we teach this stuff? And so I just want to spend a few minutes talking about teaching. So at LSE we have something that we call research-led teaching. That's the ethos of our department, which means that the people who are teaching you are mostly leading researchers in their particular field. So the teaching is strongly influenced by the sorts of up-to-date research that your teachers are doing, which we think is not the case in all universities. So that's a real advantage to studying here. Lectures are teaching is mainly delivered through different forms of lecture and class. So lectures are where you have people standing at the front right now. But lectures also have as much interaction as possible, where we have questions and answers and interaction. But where you really get to discuss and argue and debate are in classes, and those classes are where you are given readings and you're given questions, and that's when we all get together. And those classes are limited to 15 students, so they involve a lot of small groups, and everybody has a chance to engage and to discuss. We also have contact hours beyond the classroom situation of lectures and classes, so you'll be assigned an academic mentor, what in some places are called a tutor, and that person will be your point of contact for the year, and also to provide pastoral care and support. We also have an office hour system, which means that all academics at the LSE every week have specific hours where students can come and talk. So we make ourselves very accessible, and that can be for advice and feedback, it could just be for general discussion, and of course you don't have to just go and see your particular teachers in your office hours, you can actually go and visit any academic you want if you find out when their hours are. So if you get interested in a particular subject, or you get interested in a particular field, you can go and make contact with leading people in that field. And then the department organises other opportunities as well. So we have social events, we have departmental talks and seminars, we have lunches and dinners with academics. So there's a whole, you know, we pride ourselves in the department of trying to kind of build a very friendly atmosphere, one in which students and staff are all interacting as much as possible. How do we assess at the LSE? Well, we have this system where we provide both assessed work and unassessed work. So the unassessed work we call formative work, and on any course you will be given some formative assignments, and that's your chance to do a piece of work, whether it's an essay or a book review or something, and then you receive some feedback on that work, but the marks don't count. You use the feedback and you build that into a later piece of work, which is the summative assessment, which is the assessed work. And in different courses we'll have different forms of summative assessment. It might be a long essay, it might be an exam, or it might be some kind of project. Your degree is made up of 9 marks, so it's the average of your 3 first year marks, and that just counts as 1. So it's very much weighted, your final degree marks, from the second and third year, so that the first year marks are only very lightly weighted, because that's when you're learning and that's when you're still finding your feet within the field. You'll probably want to know something about entry requirements. So the standard offer for the department is 2 A's and a B at A level. The economics joint degree needs an A in A level maths. GCSE maths, preferred grade B or above. Also, we recognise IB. And then if you have any other qualifications that are non-standard, we're still very interested to hear from you, because we're interested in getting, you know, diverse students, and if you have, for example, work experience, or you can convince us otherwise that you're the right person to be doing one of our degrees, then, you know, we will consider other qualifications. In the application, our admissions tutor will be looking for these standard offer requirements, but of course at the same time the personal statement is very important, and the personal statement needs to be original, it needs to demonstrate some knowledge of social policy and criminology, and indicate some passion for understanding what social policy is all about. Whether it's about, you know, knowledge of, you know, social issues in one's own or in another society, or relevant extracurricular activities, projects, reading, etc. You probably also want to know, where does studying social policy lead? Where does it get you? And I'm happy to say that we have an incredibly wide range of different sorts of career destinations that our students go on to. So some of them, you know, might be the sort of obvious ones of becoming a practitioner in some area of social policy, like housing or social work or teaching or youth work. But at the same time, many of our students don't go into that area at all. They go into something like local government or the civil service. Many of them will continue with academic study and go on and do a master's of some kind, which might then prepare you for a specialised professional career. Many people go on and work in the voluntary sector or for think tanks, charities, NGOs, pressure groups, campaign groups. And then also we have a surprisingly large number of students who go into areas that are indirectly related to social policy. So journalism, also into finance and accounting. So if you think about it, social policy is a broad enough subject to give you insights and training and ideas in a very wide range of fields. So this is a little chart that you can see of career destinations. The largest one here from our students is politics and government. The second one here is education. But then the third one here is banking and finance, and this is NGO and charities. So you can see that there's a wide range of, you know, different kinds of career destinations.